You're with the BBC. I'm John Stewart. Now another intriguing tale of how genetics is giving us an insight into legends, in particular the giants that so often feature in Irish folklore. The investigation into the gene for giganticism starts, as Vivian Parry discovers for Science in Action, with a gruesome incident in the 18th century.
In 1782, Charles Byrne arrived in London from his native Northern Ireland. He was a majestic 7'8" tall and became an instant celebrity. Also in Georgian London at the time was John Hunter, famous surgeon and obsessive collector of anatomical curiosities and skeletons, and he absolutely had to have the Irish giant's bones for his collection. The horrified Byrne refused Hunter's offers of cash for his body after death and even made a will stipulating he was to be buried at sea to thwart him and other body snatchers. But when Byrne became ill, Hunter had him followed day and night until he died. Then, as his coffin was being taken to the coast, Hunter's agents got the coffin bearers drunk and swapped the body for stones. Hunter boiled the corpse for 24 hours to procure the bones and quickly hid them away. But today, the skeleton is on display in the Royal College of Surgeons Museum in London. I'm here in the Hunterian Museum. I'm standing in front of the case containing the skeleton of Charles Byrne, the Irish giant. And with me, Brendan Holland. Now, Brendan, you are 6'9". You're a bit of a midget compared to this man, aren't you?
Yes, he's a full 11 inches taller than I am. He's 7'8".
Brendan has an inherited condition which runs in his family.
We have altogether 8 people in our family, 6 boys and 2 girls, and out of that 8, 4 are positive carriers, including myself, of course.
So, a hereditary tumour in the pituitary gland. This is a gland found in the brain, and it produces many important hormones, including the one which controls how tall we grow, growth hormone. So too much growth hormone means your bones grow too big, a condition called pituitary gigantism.
I noticed the changes taking place gradually, and I noticed it particularly because I was reasonably good at sports, and I noticed that my coordination had gone and my stamina had gone, and that was the first, I suppose, really outward sign of it. I never associated it, of course, with my height or my growth.
Brendan comes from County Tyrone in Northern Ireland, which was also the birthplace of Charles Byrne, the Irish giant. Professor of Endocrinology at Barts Hospital in London, Marta Colbonitz, wondered whether they were related. But finding out meant she needed Brendan's DNA and that of the 18th century giant.
The idea to test his DNA was very obvious to me. And then I approached a couple of people who work with ancient DNA and asked them what will be the chance to get good quality DNA from the skeleton, which is 250 years old.
But this was the skeleton that the devious bone collector John Hunter had stolen from the coffin 2.5 centuries ago and that he'd boiled for 24 hours. So the chances of getting any DNA seemed very slim. But with two of the giant's teeth, supplied by the Hunterian Museum here in London, a German laboratory, which normally looked at DNA from Ice Age mammoths, took on the challenge. And after 2 years, they got a result.
There is a mutation in the gene called AIP, and this mutation is exactly the same mutation which Brendan has and the other Northern Irish families have, we identified. And it's not just a mutation which is the same, but the area around the gene, quite a big chunk of the chromosome, is the same, and that is actually the proof that they are related.
So the Irish giant and Brendan's family were related. But there was more. Charles Byrne wasn't the first giant in this family.
They probably had a common ancestor a number of centuries ago. According to our calculations, about 1,500 years ago, there was a person, a man or a woman, we don't know, who had a mutation. And then the descendants of these person carry this gene today. And we identified 4 families. One of them is Brendan's family.
Now, the history of Ireland is full of legends about giants.
There's a very famous tourist attraction in Northern Ireland called the Giant's Causeway, and it was reckoned to be the working place for giants. And Ireland has often been mythologised as the land of giants, but in every myth there is a grain of truth. There is also another story which defies belief. The largest lake in the British Isles is Loch Ness. Irish legend has it that there was a giant called Finn McCool. And Finn McCool was having a row with his Scottish counterpart. And to get a missile, he lifted a piece of earth and plucked it out of what is now Northern Ireland and fired it at the Scottish giant, and that is now the Isle of Man.
And if you look at a map of the British Isles, you can almost imagine that the Isle of Man did indeed originate from the hole which is Loch Ness. But, folklore and myths aside, gigantism is far from romantic.
Gigantism is a serious disease. It's a deadly disease. If it's untreated, these patients die young, and they die after a lot of years of severe suffering. It's not romantic at all. It's maybe romantic for the outsiders who just look at them, but certainly not romantic for the patient themselves.
Our modern-day giant, Brendan, had his pituitary surgically removed as a teenager and, with constant medical care, is in reasonable health and content with who he is.
I don't want to be anything different than what I am. I'm quite happy with me, and if other people don't like that, that's their problem, not mine.
Often science disproves legends, but here it's proved that there were giants. And as to the story of the origin of Loch Ness, well, that one's pure fiction.
Vivian Parry reporting with a very friendly giant there.